long for the yesteryears and watching people play football at a fun pace.
So one of the things I ask you, what do you make of the craziness, LSU, Brian Kelly out there, AD now out down there, and all of the firings and all of the smoke about who's going where now? And it just seems crazy to me, man. We're in an unprecedented times in college football.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like Brian Kelly. And I don't feel sorry for him in that regard. And he was a fish out of water from day one down in Baton Rouge, in my opinion, which I believe is apropos that the AD goes too, because he's the same guy, I think, with Jimbo. I don't like this, and I think for a variety of reasons I don't like it. Even for Brian Kelly, I think it also speaks to the importance of, if you can create some stability in an unstable world, I think there's a through line there for, you know, specifically Clemson, there's a through line there for being able to take advantage of the chaos that surrounds you if you can keep that stability, and, of course, if you can win.
Yeah, there is I don't know if it fits are as important now as it used to be, but in certain places they are. And we've talked about it in the preseason, how LSU is it's a different deal, man. It is a different culture there. Louisiana and the Cajun and the LSU brand, like, it's a whole different culture. And so if you're not a fit there, Orgeron was the fit and they fired him too. So it's not just the fit, but if you don't have those ties, and if you don't have that, embrace that culture, then you do have much less of a chance through all that. But, you know, like, where is it headed? I don't know. All right, we spent a lot of time on this the last few weeks. This is my last open deck question before we talk to some Duke. There's thought about, prevailing thought, that Dabo has to make changes. And I don't think he's going to make every one that everybody's clamoring for. But I'll ask you, in the offseason, what do you expect from Dabo? What changes will be made? Which ones do you don't expect him to make, as far as him holding to what he's kind of based things on? How much of a different deal will we see in Clemson football over in the offseason?
I hope a lot. I'm going to say I think the easiest answer to that is I think he'll make some staff changes. You know, one of the things that Coach Sweeney could be criticized for the hires that he has made in some situations. I think he should be credited for some of the hires that he made in certain situations. I mean, he's the guy who hired Brent Venables, right? And
right.
Jad Morris and all these guys. But he has not been slow, in my opinion, of pulling the plug on some staff changes. So I expect that to happen. I said last week, Mickey, and then I heard you yesterday, and it was funny because I'd kind of created some notes for our conversation today, and then I heard you yesterday, and I was like, dog it, no, Plyler's stealing my line.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah. I said last week that if Coach Sweeney embraces what has become the new college football model, then I think he can do it better than any of these. I think he can do it better than James Franklin. I think he can do it better than Steve Sarkisian, Ryan Day. I mean, because a lot of it is transactional now. Most of it is transactional. But there is still a human element to it. And I think what made Clemson and Dabo Sweeney elite, a top five program, 8 7 6 7 8 years ago, whatever it was, can translate into this new world if the process changes for Dabo. If he goes out and hires the best at dealing with the money, you know, the old, what was the NFL term they use for the cap guy, right? You know, right. You got a
capologist.
Cap guy.
And
so, you know, if Dabo goes out and hires the best cap guy, if he goes out and hires these scouts and these people that can look at transfer portal players and all that kind of stuff, and if he decides he wants to do it and he's going to do it great, I think he can do it better than most people. And I certainly think he could do it at the level of a top five program. And I went back and looked, Mickey, and this is when you stole my thunder yesterday. I went back and looked, and I said, how many on the 2016 team and the 2018 team, how many players did Clemson have on the two deep, the 44, that were players that any team in the country would take, no matter what they had at that position. And I'll just give you an example. You know, Christian Wilkins, like, yes. It didn't matter how many defensive tackles you had
right.
at your school, at school A.
Right.
If Christian Wilkins wanted to come there, you'd take him, right? I mean, right. How many were truly elite players on those championship teams? Now, we may argue about this plus or minus one or two, but I counted 15 of those players on the 16 team. And there were a few more on the 18 team, I think 17 or 18 on the 18 team. So let's just use 15 to 18 as a round number, all right? When the smoke clears on 2025 and you get people graduating or transferring or quitting or whatever the whatevers are, whoever, and you shuffle down, who are your top 44 at Clemson? And then how many of those players do you have? Okay. Let's just say you got five. Maybe there's more than that at Clemson. I don't know. But let's just say five for argument's sake. Then that's your number. You got to go get 10 dudes from the portal. And if you do that, and what happened in 16 and 18 is that you had those 15 to 18 elite players, and they made the other players around them better. Yeah. And I think we've got good enough players in some positions that if they had elite players around them, they would be better, and it would be a better product. So if we've got five, we got to go get 10. If we've got 10, we only need five. So that's, to me, the new model is you got to figure out where you're weakest and where you can find the best players in the portal regardless of position, and you go get them and you pay them and you do all this kind of stuff, and then you bring in some freshmen and do all this, like the decommit. That would have broke my heart 5 years ago.
Right.
Now that's just another transfer position you got to go get.
It's interesting, isn't it? I don't know if you heard us earlier today. I said the single biggest key to tomorrow's game is you got to fly the banner over the stadium for Darren Mensa. Darren, come home, $5 million, come be the quarterback at Clemson next year. Like, over the Death Valley, he's got to see the banners flying behind the plane.
Like, love it. I didn't hear that, but I love it. But that's unfortunately
that's where we are, man.
I mean, and so the question will be, is Coach Sweeney, is it in his DNA to want to do that? I think his competitiveness, Mickey, and you know him as well as anyone as well, he's just an ultra-competitive guy. And I think once, the first thing you got to admit, you got a problem. If and when he admits he has a problem, he's going to go fix it. And the fix is what we want. It may not be, to your point, it's not be everything that we want, you know. But he didn't do everything we wanted previously either. So if he wants to be elite in the new college football, I wouldn't bet against him. I'd put my chips on the poker table back just like we did in 2008 and go all in on it.
Well, another thing is I'm not qualified to tell you what everything he should do. I'm not in that building over there. And even if I was in the building, I haven't spent 25 years in the industry of knowing. I don't know. You know, I can tell you that the food doesn't taste good, but I ain't gonna tell you how to cook the meal. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. What we're all wanting, it won't be everything. And here's another thing too, Scott. You know, the good news or the bad news? Which one you want first?
I always go for the bad news first.
The bad news is that no matter what he does, if he does everything perfect and everything right, you're still not guaranteed. Because, you know, this is what Florida State or South Carolina, some of these teams, like, you can go get the guy. LSU was the number one portal school in the country in the rankings. And they're 5-3 and fired their coach. So the bad news is that even if you went and you think you got it all right, then we might not get it right. Now,
before you give me the good news, the but to that is, and maybe this is your good news, I think that's where Dabo would shine. You bring all these new pieces in, like you mentioned LSU. Brian Kelly doesn't have the personality to bring those issues together, those people together, and make them rally around LSU.
Right.
I think Coach Sweeney has a better chance of doing that. I'm not saying he can do it. He's got a better chance than Brian Kelly or Ryan Day of doing it.
That was my point, too, is the good news is that people are doing it, and it can be done. And now, to the point about cap politics, I talked about Larry Williams' article this week, and it was about what Duke's done. Duke went 9-for-9, all 9 transfers, and they're from places like Sam Houston State, North Dakota, and Dartmouth. And they got one from Oklahoma, but the fact is, like, they're all starting. They're the leading rusher and leading receiver and their best offensive lineman and their number one tackler on defense and top defensive tackle. Like, they went 9-for-9. Now they've got a guy that evaluated it, and they also hired a guy from Australian rules football to do their capology stuff. And that's what it is now. Like, you got to value. It's all about the value. They looked at all of the analytics and it put everybody in the transfer portal on a board and talked about the value of those guys. You can't overpay in one position because you're going to hurt yourself in another one. And that's what we're talking about. And there's a balance between. Not, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. It's not. It is a different world than high school recruiting, but in some respects, it is some of the same skill sets of that in evaluating talent. Saying, can we sign three linebackers this year? You know, in the old days, right? Can we if we get the right three, can we do it? Or are we under the scholarship limits? Or maybe we don't go and offer this tight end because we'd rather have the third linebacker. All of those things now just has a dollar sign behind it, but it's some of the same evaluation. In some respects, it might be easier evaluation because you're evaluating them off of college film instead of high school film.
Yeah, and you got 3 years of it, and you're not projecting. So, yeah. To your point about the decommitments, like, who cares now? Because now they got a chance.
Yep.
I used the example earlier in the week that, you know, Bryce Davis is a guy that Clemson fans were upset about, and he got $700,000 from Duke last year. Well, he's got six tackles and one tackle for loss and no sacks. Well, Clemson had to go in the portal, and they got Will Helt, who's got 28 tackles, 6.5 tackles or 8.5 tackles for loss, and 4.5 sacks. And they paid $750 for him. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to get a much more polished product. Then heck yeah, sign me up for that. So that's, you know, it's not all bad news. In the old days, a decommitment would be devastating. Now it's like, okay, well, let's go get somebody else, somebody better.
Well, and we've seen, I think, for the first time in a long time at Clemson, you got to have the right people on your team. Because if you don't have guys that really want to be there and don't have the heart to be there, I don't care how good they are.
Yeah.
I mean, what value do they bring you? We got a lot of people that physically look pretty damn good, but they either don't have the heart, or I don't know why they aren't doing what they're doing, but they're not doing it.
Well, that was my last point I made on yesterday was, of all the things not involving personnel, the one thing that Clemson has lacked, and the mental toughness and physical toughness, we pounded that into the ground on the show. But there was an edge in those teams you talked about earlier. They played with an edge, and that edge is not there. And I'm going to leave you with this guy. Had a guy call me yesterday saying, I'm worried about Dabo from a psychological standpoint. Like, he doesn't look as good, and man, I'm just worried about him. And I said, well, I think what's happening here is that I think he's tried everything he knows to do to fix it, and he doesn't know how to fix it, and because it's not can't be fixed. So, like, he's trying everything, but it ain't working. And so now what do you do? Because you fixed everything. In the past, you used to be able to fix it. You talked about it earlier in the segment. And now you can't fix it. And now what? You know? That's hard. Yep,
that resignation, I think, is there. You know, because even we spent a whole one of these Friday shows, I guess, after the Troy game or whenever it was, when he had the press conference that everybody flew against the Handel Award, because I think he believed at the time he was going to fix it this year.
Oh yeah.
And now he knows not. And you know, you got to salvage what you can salvage. And you know, we need it. Our fans need to win tomorrow. I don't know how in the world we're going to win, but our people deserve to see that team win a home game for the first time in a long time. And
agree.
You know, I'll be rooting and wearing my lucky shirts and doing everything I can do from a long way away, because God Almighty, these guys and gals need to see some fun in Death Valley.
Let's preview a night game in Florida State and see if you're going to be at Mount St. Helens or Mount Adams or Mount Hood. I don't know where you're going to be. Mount somewhere.
Well, I wouldn't have wanted to be at Mount St. Helens in 1980 or whenever it was when we were young. But Hey, y'all have a great week. We'll talk to you next week, Mickey. And
thank you,
Tigers.
Scott. Be safe. Be safe. Scott and Reimer. Short break. Speaking of Clemson Duke, Josh Williams is going to tell us what Vegas thinks about it right after a short break.
It's football season, but don't forget the real MVPs in your life. Score big with a stunning gift from Turner's Jewelers. From custom diamond studs to an eye-catching necklace, we'll help you make the right play with our jewelry. And when it's time to say, I do, let our experts help design your own championship-worthy ring. Family-owned and trusted for generations, Turner's brings all-star service and southern charm. Visit us in Seneca's Applewood Shopping Center or at turnersjewelers.com. Turner's Jewelers, a winning experience from start to finish.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have 2-stall, 3-stall, and 4-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
At ATV Outfitters, we stock more ATV, UTV, motocross, and street bike products than anyone for hundreds of miles around. We have more than 10,000 tires and wheels on hand. We pride ourselves on great prices and getting you the accessories you need fast. Come see us for the items that are readily available to get your vehicle ready for the street, trail, or mud pit. Don't buy elsewhere, or we'll both lose money. ATV Outfitters, located at 2485 Rutherford Road, Greenville.
You can count on Ace Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air for HVAC repairs, installations, replacements, and maintenance. Their certified technicians deliver fast, honest diagnostics with the latest tools to solve the real problem, not just some quick patch job. They will give you upfront pricing and a one-year labor guarantee. If that's not enough, they offer flexible financing, first-time customer specials, and discounts for veterans and seniors. Proudly serving the upstate in the bold white and blue trucks, visit acehomeco.com today.
Cold weather is just around the corner. Be ready for Old Man Winter by shopping the Craft Stove Store and Patio for all your fireplace needs. Shop over 20 models of vented and vent-free propane or natural gas logs that heat for just pennies an hour and use no electricity, keeping you warm and cozy even during a power failure. Shop and save now at the Craft Stove Store and Patio for everything your hearth desires. 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
Fall means football, tailgates, and Clemson Tigers. Make the Tiger Sports Shop your first stop before kickoff with the latest Clemson gear, from cozy fall hoodies to the latest Nike sideline gear. We've got everything you need to show your Tiger pride. Shop in store at either one of our two convenient Clemson locations, Tiger Boulevard and College Avenue, or skip the line and order online at tigersports.com. The Tiger Sports Shop, where Clemson fans make Tiger Sports Shop their game day headquarters. Everything Clemson all day, every day.
Have you ever wondered if you need an estate plan? David Green hears that question daily, and the answer is always yes. Let David and his team guide you through the process of creating a personalized estate plan to protect your legacy for your family. Today is the day to make that happen. Don't wait another day. Call David Green at 271-7940, that's 271-7940, or visit greenlaw.legal to start securing your legacy today.
Bob, you're a Clemson alum just like I am.
That's right, Ginger. I'm glad we struck up a friendship at Everlawn Independent Living.
Gosh, yes. Thank goodness we found Everlawn. Chef-prepared meals, housekeeping, and a fun schedule of activities like cards, movies, and parties. We can even catch a Tigers game or a show at the Brooks Center.
It's a sweet life, Ginger. Comfort, community, and Clemson pride.
I think we both agree Everlawn Independent Living is where we belong.
Yay, Everlawn. Go Tigers.
Learn more today at EverlawnLiving.com.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
High school football, college football, and the NFL. We're broadcasting games at all three levels and breaking it all down. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Eggs Up Grill, they're doing an incredible job with catering right now. So if you are a coach, you need a pregame meal. If you are in, I mean, healthcare, all you do is just cater everything now. You got meetings, you're at the university, you got meetings everywhere, and you want to, we got a big sales pitch going on, you got a big fundraiser coming up, let them cater for you. Breakfast, brunch, lunch, they do it all. You're going to love it. Go to eggsupgrill.com. They've got some incredible things happening there. We love Eggs Up Grill. Take them, eggsupgrill.com in Clemson and Seneca. If you need them for tailgates, go ahead and get them in now. You got to get them in today, and that way you can pick them up on your way in Clemson or Seneca, Eggs Up Grill, or they can make arrangements to deliver to your tailgate tomorrow. What a great deal. Eggs Up Grill. Love those good folks. Check them out online and click on the catering tab there. Josh Williams joins us. J-Dub, good morning. How you doing this morning?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Great. I'm a little afraid to ask how we did last week.
Well, first off, we won't hold Morgan's performance against Sam in his absence. But, 0-2 there for Morgan last week with Cristobal kind of sticking it to him there in the last 30 seconds. 1-1 for you, split with BYU and Bama. 1-2 for me, hit with Wake, but losers on Arkansas and State.
All right, here we go. Let's talk about it. Clemson opened up at about 3.5. Any movement with Clemson hosting Duke tomorrow?
Yeah, it was interesting. It had been pretty flat, and then you saw kind of Wednesday, you saw it tick down. It had been sitting around 2.5, and then looking again last night, there's been kind of after the injury report and whatnot with Klubnik being probable, it bumped back up to 3.5. So overall, not much. There was a little bit of movement down early in the week, probably pricing in some uncertainty there on Klubnik. But as it looks like he's listed probable and expecting to play, that it's ticked back up to basically where it was. Kind of you never would have really thought in history or kind of this year that as it sits right now, Clemson's a bigger favorite against Florida State next week than it is at Duke, playing Duke this week. But that's where we are. But, you talk about Duke, it's a dynamic quarterback, Mensa, and obviously it should be given what they paid for him. But he leads the nation in pass yards per game, about 315 yards per game. He's got, greater than 70% completions and 9 yards per attempt. He got a 17-2 TD to INT ratio, and he is mobile, but he's not one that's going to use his legs to break the pocket and run. He's more extending the play, still looking to throw downfield. They've got two pretty good backs there in Shepherd and Castle that, average 7 and 5.5 yards per carry, got double-digit touchdowns between them. But if there is one, well, two things. If there's a couple of woes for them, one, it's in the red zone. They're 112th in red zone scoring percentage, 77%. They're outside the top 80 in red zone TD percentage at just about 60%. And a lot of that, at least in some of their, two of their losses, relate to turnovers. If you think back to the Illinois game earlier in the year, there were -5 in turnovers in that game. Two of those happened in the red zone. I think Georgia Tech a couple weeks ago, they were only -1, but that one was a big one. They fumbled down near the goal line. Tech runs it back 99 or 98 yards, whatever. Obviously had another turnover on downs in the red zone. So offense is going to be tough to stop, especially through the air, given what we've seen from Clemson secondary. But you hope maybe some of those turnover woes can kind of rear their head again with them being obviously on the road. And defensively for Duke, they're aggressive. Top 5 in the conference in tackles for loss and sacks, but they do give up some chunk plays, and they, like their offense, have some red zone issues. They're basically almost 119th. They allow over 90% of the opponent's red zone trips to score. They're about 100th, and allowing about over 2/3 of those to be for touchdowns. So if you can avoid the negative plays, they do allow some chunk plays, particularly through the air. If you protect the ball and kind of avoid some of those negatives, there are some avenues to score because it's not, it's still a good defense, but it's not quite what it usually is for a Diaz defense, but it's still aggressive. But there are plays to be had if you can protect the ball.
Yeah, seem like two pretty inefficient football teams facing off tomorrow. One inefficient football team going with Vanderbilt in Texas. Look, I know the home field advantage stuff, but with Arch, who knows? And the other thing is Vanderbilt's a better football team than Texas. I've watched both play this year. Vanderbilt runs the ball. They stop the run. Texas can't run it. I know it's at home, But I think the wrong team is favorite here. Texas laying 3.5 to Vanderbilt.
It's been kind of waffling back and forth between 2.5 and 3. It's pretty split. More tickets on Vandy, but more money on Texas. If you think earlier in the week, it was, you know, around 3. It got down kind of as low as 1, and then it got moved back up to where it is now, that 2.5 to 3 range. But, yeah, kind of fourth big game in a row, really, for Vandy. There is a bye week stuck in there. Obviously, we know Bama, LSU, and Missouri, these last, you know, the two big home wins the last couple weeks. But first home game for Texas since September the 20th. So I know they're looking forward to that. But, yeah, it sounds like Archer's going to play clear protocol. And, you know, he probably, you know, it's a bad Mississippi State defense, but I think you could definitely say he probably played his best game last week. But, you know, Texas special teams have really won the game for him, really, the last couple weeks. I mean, that the punt return that specifically gave him two really short fields there against Kentucky when their offense could do nothing. And then obviously really turned that game kind of late last week with that touchdown. But I think that Texas defense can really match up and slow down what Vandy likes to do. So I think it'll be more on Pavia and his arm than it is his legs. And he's kind of, his rush productivity has continually gone down here the last several games as that competition kind of jumped up a little bit, whether that's, you know, by design or whether that's maybe he's getting worn out a little bit as we get later in the year with all those hits kind of taking a toll. But I think this is kind of it's interesting that total ticked up a little. To me, it just profiles more as like a low-scoring 2017-21-17 kind of slugfest.
All right, we've got world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Billy Gonzalez leading his Florida Gators against Kirby Smart 7.5, or in that touchdown 7.5 point range.
Yeah, I've been kind of waffling there, 7.5. I mean, it's obviously 4-1. You know, bet count money on Georgia, but just kind of, you know, they're kind of laying the 7, you know, in some respect it does take in Florida at 7.5. But, you know, you heard the kind of the Billy Gonzalez and his presser this week says they will play faster, kind of maybe reduce motion a little bit, or get the ball to their playmakers more, which are probably the two Wilsons at receiver. And kind of interesting that he talked about how Napier really struggled to get the play in. That took him over half the clock to get the play in. It kind of left him at a disadvantage, so that you expect there'll be a quicker pace. So interesting to see. I mean, in the 5 SEC games, Georgia's been outscored 56-10 in the first quarter. So they've been notoriously slow starters. It kind of profiles as another one that, you know, Florida kind of comes out maybe doing some different things with a change in philosophy there on offense and kind of maybe gets off to a fast start, gets a little early lead. And obviously Georgia does what they do and adjust and will probably eventually take over there in the second half. But, you know, Georgia doesn't pressure the passer, which is probably good for Lagway. Florida defensively, they'll have their hands full, but they've been pretty good at slowing down the run this year. But they also don't pressure the quarterback very much. So, you know, both quarterbacks should be, you know, relatively clean and have some time to throw. So, interested to see kind of maybe what wrinkles maybe the interim staff or the, you know, interim play caller and head coach there kind of changes some philosophy there for Florida to see if kind of switches some things up.
Oklahoma, Tennessee tomorrow, 7:30 up in Knox Vegas, Tennessee, a slight favorite.
Yeah, this one, you know, looking at this earlier in the week, you know, it seemed like, you know, it was up around 4, and then it's kind of come back. You know, the next person you say they like Oklahoma to win the game, probably the first person you hear say that. But, you know, it's been, you know, one-way action on Tennessee, but there's been respected money on Oklahoma that's driven this down, and it's actually under 3 now at 2.5. But, you know, strength on strength with that Tennessee offense and Oklahoma defense. But Oklahoma had some issues last week on defense, but, you know, that Chambliss and his mobility, extending plays for the pass, maybe the wet, you know, sloppy conditions hurt a little bit too. But, you know, Aguilar's not a statue, but, you know, using his legs really you know, is not really a strength. So I'm interested to watch there. But if you think about, you know, Tennessee and what they faced, they really haven't faced a team with a good pass rush. If you look at the list of teams they've played and the sack rate of those defenses, I mean, it's pretty putrid. I mean, Syracuse 92nd, Georgia 130th, UAB outside the top 80, you know, Mississippi State and Arkansas around 80th, Kentucky's outside the top 80. The best one is so far really has been Bama, which is kind of around 50th, but now you come in with Oklahoma, who's ranked first. I'm interested to see there how that goes. And Tennessee's defense obviously has been a big weakness. I mean, they've kind of had some turnover luck that kind of aided their wins against Mississippi State and Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky went up and down the field last week, but and they've been really bad in the red zone. And they've allowed 29 trips to the red zone and opponents that scored 24 touchdowns. So that's over 80%. So really, I kind of like Oklahoma to, you know, looking at some of those numbers kind of made me like Oklahoma a little bit more, whereas early in the week, the line seemed a bit short to me.
All right, let's do it. I'll go, Sam. I'm going to take the bait again. I'm just Georgia's like crack to me. I'm going to keep picking them. They keep disappointing me. But I just think that Kirby hates Florida. Gets any chance to do it against Florida, he will. 7.5. I think that's like a 10-point game rather than a 7-point game. I think it'd be Georgia led 7.5. Sam, who do you have?
I will take Ohio State as a 19.5-point favorite against Penn State.
I don't know why the line dropped. Jada, why didn't line go down one? What's that about? It went from 20.5 to 19.5.
Yeah, I mean,
Penn State's not.
Penn State's ever going to rally the troops for a game. Maybe it's this one. I mean, Ohio State is just so slow tempo-wise, you know, and that total's only, what, 44, 44.5? I mean, yeah. I don't know. What does Penn State need to cover at 10 points?
Can they get that? Who knows?
Yeah, but, right. Can they get it?
All right, who do you got overdog for me?
I think I'm going Texas, particularly if you get it just under field goal, 2.5.
All right. I'm going to save my underdog because I got 3, and I'll let you guys. I don't want to take away from yours. I'll narrow it down. Sam, underdog, who do you have?
I was going to go with Vanderbilt, but I've gone with them pretty often this year, so I'm going to go across the board here a little bit. I will go with Cincinnati as a 10.5-point underdog now against Utah. That just seems like too much, even with Dampier playing, which I'm sure means I will lose that one.
Yeah, he takes that. So Utah, Cincinnati getting 10.5. That extra half point's pretty big there. J-Dub, underdog, who do you have?
Man, I really wanted it to be Nebraska all week, but that has been whacked from 7 down to now 4.5 there.
Yeah.
Against USC. I've got 2 kind of ugly ones. North New Mexico plus 4.5 against UNLV. And they got absolutely drilled last week, but I'll take Colorado at home against Arizona.
All right. Well, you guys didn't get either one of mine. All right, my third place, and I'm not going to pick this one, but I considered South Carolina plus 12.5. Ole Miss doesn't beat anybody really bad. That's what's amazing here. Let me give you this quickly, Josh. Ole Miss this year beat Kentucky by 7. They beat Arkansas by 6. They beat LSU by 5. They beat Washington State by 3. They lost to Georgia by 8. They beat Oklahoma by 9. By 8. They don't beat teams badly. South Carolina's offensive line got straight. No. I'm not going to pick the Gamecocks. I'm not going to pick them. I want to pick Mississippi State catching, 5.5 against Arkansas? I think Mississippi State might run out of magic and run out of bullets here in a second. So give me Cal plus 5.5 at home, long trip, and the magic eventually ends for Virginia. Give me Cal plus 5.5 with that one. You like any of those? Any underdogs? Any of those? Mine?
Yeah, I mean, the South Carolina one, I considered that as well, but I just, can they get off the mat after that disappointment at the end last week? But, you know, same coin, is Ole Miss have a little bit of a letdown, you know, after their big road win.
But they got Citadel next week, they can empty the tank, you know.
Right, I mean, it kind of profiles similarly to Alabama's defense and that Ole Miss doesn't really get after the passer, which kind of doesn't go against South Carolina's biggest weakness. So, yeah, I can kind of see that one quite a bit.
All right, let's review it and preview it when we visit next week. I always enjoy it, my friend. Looking forward to doing it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you then.
Have a good one, guys.
Love it. Josh Williams, Vegas Movement. Short break. We'll come back. We'll get a ReedyLandCo.com's hunting and fishing report from Jinx Patrick right after this. Have you
forgotten? It's the Upstate Veterans Alliance 10th Annual South Carolina Veteran Upstate Salute, honoring veterans and first responders at Floor Field in downtown Greenville. See the Special Forces Jump Team, Aerial Flyover, Drill Team Exhibitions, Rifle Salute, and more. Featuring music from country artist Daryl Worley with opener Ryan Spencer. Sunday, November 9th, the salute to our veterans and first responders at Floor Field, downtown Greenville. Tickets just $5 at upstatesalute.com. Gates open at 2 with a concert at 4. Honor our veterans and first responders with country artist Daryl Worley. Sunday, November 9th, honor the men and women who served to keep us free and safe. Go to upstatesalute.com for tickets and more information.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's the actually really seriously best sale of the year for real at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 on Sealy and get a free adjustable base, plus fast free delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Turn on the fun and see where the light takes you. Cash Pop from the South Carolina Education Lottery is easy to play with tons of chances to win. Pick a number from 1 to 15 and you could win up to $2,500, or play all 15 numbers and you're guaranteed to win. So let the good times glow with Cash Pop, the light of the party. Get more details at sceducationlottery.com.
When making decisions, it's important to take a long view and consider how our choices will affect us for generations to come. Longview Carolina is a gated community that emphasizes that long view, with on-site gardens, miles of trails, mature forests, open meadows, and gathering spaces with 50-mile views, all designed to spark true community. Go to contact at longviewcarolina.com to schedule your private tour today. Longview Carolina, worlds apart, minutes away.
It's time to drink pink at Palmetto Distillery in Anderson. All month long, Palmetto Distillery is donating a portion of their sales of pink drinks and pink flavors to the Roars Tigers for Tatas campaign. So what are you waiting for? Join them at one of their trivia nights, live music events, or just drop by to check out their ready-to-drink cocktails, moonshine, or sippin' creams. Drink pink at Palmetto Distillery all month long to give back to Tigers for Tatas, 200 West Benson Street in Anderson.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's best jewelry store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's best jewelry store, 11 years in a row. Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
If you've been charged with a criminal offense, the legal system can be overwhelming and intimidating.
You could be facing significant consequences. You need someone in your corner to help you navigate it all. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get the answers you need. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com. You don't have to go through this alone. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Tigers for Tatas. Text T4T to 53555 for an easy way to donate. With your help, we can make a difference.
Hey, Carolina Flooring Specialist, your garage floor can look amazing. Mine does. Ours is awesome. We'll be trick-or-treating tonight, and I'll tell you, we'll come back. We'll put our candy all in the garage, and we'll keep it out there and divide it all up, and then we'll come in the house and eat some of that. We'll have trick-or-treaters come through that area. We love it. Love the functional part of it. Drake's out there with his granddad, I'm sure today they'll be throwing baseballs, hitting golf balls, and we'll be like at the putty mats out, and I'll cross around and on all of her princess outfits out there. And you know, if I didn't have this, we wouldn't let her crawl in princess outfits on it for sure. But this is easy, and it doesn't pick her princess outfits. The very best garage floor from the very best company has been doing it since 1999. Call Tim Worley today, 404-8158. No obligation, 10-minute presentation. The best in the business, Carolina FlooringSpecialist.com. Time now for the segment brought to you by great friends at ReedyLandCo.com, and Jinx Patrick's joins us in a hunting and fishing report. Good morning, Jinx. How you doing this morning?
Man, doing great. Mickey, how you been?
Great. We got some better weather now. We got all the rain out of the way, and got some warmer temperatures coming. 70s next week.
Be good for Halloween. Yes. Definitely good for Halloween.
Yes. No doubt about that. You guys doing good? Girls doing good?
Hey, man, I wanted to... Yeah, doing good. Great. I wanted to ask you a question. Got a trivia question for you today.
Right.
So South Carolina has 3 immersive education governor schools. Can you name any and or all of them?
I only know. All right, are you asking me for the location or the specific schools? Like what that?
What they study? They study 3 different things.
All right, so let me
guess. I'll tell you the first two.
All right, let me tell you. I would guess music.
Yep.
I would guess. Either dance and arts.
Well, there's one in Greenville. It's a beautiful campus. It focuses on arts and humanities. That'd be your dance and your music.
Okay.
There's one down in Hartsville, which specializes in science and math.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And there's a third one, and that's the youngest of the 3 that was established in 2020. Do you know what that one is?
Can I guess agriculture?
That's right. It's agriculture. Agriculture and environmental science.
All right.
So down in McCormick, there's the Governor's School of Agriculture at John Della Howe. That's a plantation down there, and it's a working farm. It was a plantation down in the 1800s, and now it's a conservation area. It's a full campus, and they have the South Carolina School for Agriculture. It was Henry McMaster is the one that revamped it back up, and he said it in 2020. So it's about, you know, it's been going on 6 years now, and I got to tour it a few weeks ago, and I was just real impressed. I've been excited to do the radio ever since then, because to give you an idea of how unique this is, you know, when you have someone in high school that really knows what they want to do and really specializes in something, South Carolina wants to give them the opportunity to thrive in that environment. So in all these schools, the kids actually move to the schools and they stay there and live on campus all week. Sometimes they go home for the weekend, but they're full campuses. So I pull up to this place, and it's down, you know, it's on the shoreline. It's down below McCormick. It's on the shoreline of Lake Thurmond. And I pull up, and it's a full campus. It's like pulling into PC or Newberry or, you know, a college campus of that size. And you know, there's literally a tractor going down the road, security gate. The kids have planted a dove field right on the backside of campus. So in the morning we get up, we eat breakfast, and their cafeteria is literally serving eggs that they've raised on there, and it's and bacon and everything. It's fantastic. And we go by security station, pick up our shotguns, and we actually had a dove hunt on the back end of the campus that the kids had planted the dove field. It was amazing. They had dogs out there. They were working with retrievers. It's pretty cool.
So any idea, like, the range of students we're talking about? Like, how many?
I actually toured the campus, and we interviewed some of the kids that came, and they spoke to us, and it's pretty cool. I'm going to say there's probably 75 to 100 students there. It was a weekend, so the count was down a little bit because some of them drive home on the weekend. And I actually found out about the place from one of my friends from Greenwood who has a son who really likes tractors and working with his hands. And he was kind of looking for something in that range, and they found out about this and they tried it out. So I actually spent some time talking with him, and, you know, they specialize in a few things. You're going to either focus on agriculture, agribusiness, forestry, land management, or food science. And one of them I know that they have is sort of a lead-in for being a veterinarian, which is really cool.
Yeah, let me tell you a little. So my brother-in-law is a big vegetable farmer in South Carolina, and they've got this unbelievable property. Jinx, you would love to have his property to list, right? It's 1 mile from Lexington High School on Augusta Highway. And right across the street from them is a Lowe's. And so, like, Walmart's coming and offering all kinds of bukus of money for some of his roadside frontage roads type stuff, you know? And he's not selling it right now. And my thing is, like, he's got 2,000 acres, man, like, or 2,800 acres or something. Like, just sell just the frontage there. But the thing is, and I said, man, you could retire, like, just get away from it all. But here's the thing. And it was his granddad's, I think, starting in his dad. And all, but here's the thing. He's a farmer. Like, he could never work another day the rest of his life, and his kids won't ever have to work, and his grandkids won't have to work. But I'm telling you, he's a farmer. And that's all he knows to do, and that's all he wants to do. And I think my nephew might eventually take it over. But it's like that. These people, they're just made differently. Like, they love it, and there's a lot of stress in it, a lot of pressure in it, and a lot of but there's so much reward that he knows he's helping feed so many people. And that's, I'm telling you, man, the guy's driven, and farmers are just different people. Remember
farmers are different people. You got to love what you do, and you have to study it now. You can't just go out and produce a crop and make the profit. And you're dealing with things like the cost of a tractor has gone up significantly. The cost of fertilizer has gone up significantly. And this is stuff we do at work. You know, we plant these fields and we fertilize and we build these dove fields. And they, you know, how do you make a profit if you're growing corn and the cost of everything's gone up, but the society works very hard to keep the cost of cornflakes down at the grocery store. So, you know, there's this pressure from both sides. And the answer to that is to be more purposeful and more efficient in your planting of the corn. And that's what you want to study.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. And South Carolina's got land that's good for that, to do that. And I think Henry McMaster has done a good job of kind of reverting back to where when we were young, if you didn't want to be an engineer, they had other options at school. They had wood shop, they had welding classes and things like that. And then, you know, as we grew up, they were like, everybody needs to go to college a certain way. And now we've kind of seen it where society's sort of going back to saying, okay, if you can work with your hands, or if you want to learn something hands-on and immersive, we're going to foster that. And those governor schools, I think, are doing a great job of doing that, and programs through the tech schools at Greenville. So it's exciting to see that again.
No doubt about that. I got something else for you I'll finish with here in a second. But I was on the site last night, and, man, I got to tell you, we live in a beautiful part of the world because some of your properties you're selling right now just look immaculate.
Yeah. If you were going to look at one property, I'd look at Bush River Retreat right now. It's 102 acres down on Bush River right below Newberry. And the reason I bring that up is, you know, we're in the middle of deer season, and people are thinking about that. And sometimes you get somebody's like, man, I wish I had somewhere to take my kids. Well, that one is, it's got a barn, it's got a house, it's got a fishing pond, it's got a duck pond, and it's got 100 acres on top of that to hunt deer. That's something you could buy it next week and you could go hunt the week after that. And that's the one I would look at if you need a turnkey place right now.
All right. You always give me stuff and I always learn stuff from you. I got one for you. When you hang up the phone right now, and you got to do the audio of it. You can't just read it yourself. Do the audio. But do Paul Harvey's So God Made a Farmer. Again, yep. Paul Harvey. So, and it's a poem that he wrote.
You're going to look it up. It's an audio file.
And either the video, audio, whatever. So God made a farmer. Look that one up and text me after you hear it because I want to hear and see what you think. Pretty cool stuff.
I'll definitely do it.
How can they reach you, man? What do they need to know about getting in touch with RudyLanco.com?
RudyLanco.com. Look it up. We're all over the place. You can't miss us. Can't avoid us in some ways if you're looking for land, and that's what's exciting. If you're looking for something, you can give us a call. If you want to sell something, you can give us a call, and we look forward to working with you.
RudyLanco.com. Love it, man. Great stuff. When you sent me the Governor School preview, I had no idea that we even had that, so I'm glad, and I had no idea who this guy was, this French physician who left all this land, but I learned something today, buddy. I always do, and I can't thank you enough, and hope that you and the girls have a great Halloween.
You too, man. Thanks for the time.
You too. That's Jinx Patrick. I wish we had time to play it, Sam. So God made a farmer. When we come back, we're going to try something, Sam. Now, I can't promise this is going to work, but Roy Philpott was supposed to fly out last night to Boston, Massachusetts, to Logan, right? Well, weather got him, and he couldn't fly out last night. Flights were canceled. So he boards a plane early this morning to LaGuardia, I think is LaGuardia, and he's landing right now, and he's got a slight little tiny layover before he heads to Logan. He's doing Boston College and Notre Dame tomorrow. There is a chance that we can go live to the layover for Roy Philpott to get his thoughts on Boston College and Notre Dame. So we'll try it. We'll see if it works from LaGuardia in New York City. Sam Jones, Mickey Plowler, hour number 3 when you come back after a very short top of the hour break.